isn't very often that a parent apologizes to their kids. And I really, at that moment, pretty much, I adopted that same conviction for my life. So good convictions give order and focus to your life, and they lead to success, but a lack of convictions leads to instability and a loss of integrity and a wasted life. So the convictions that you live by are really who you are. If you think about your own convictions during this week, and maybe some that you should adopt, God will bless you as you come to those convictions that lead to following Jesus better. So I want to ask this morning, what are your convictions about church? What are the practices you've decided upon for your life when it comes to church? And Bill Hybels said, I believe, the local church is the hope of the world. And I believe that. How Christians tie into the local church determines how effective that church can be and what that church might be able to accomplish. And effective churches change their communities. And they change the nation and they change the world. Together, we make a difference. Hebrews 10:25 says, some people have gotten out of the habit of meeting for worship, but we must not do that. We should keep on encouraging each other. Okay? Why shouldn't we give up? Why should we be here? I want to give you four reasons today why being together in the church is important. And to help maybe firm up in your mind even more strongly a conviction about this. What are the reasons why we're here? Well, one of them is not to get a chocolate bar. Because that's not going to happen next Sunday, as far as I know. but the first reason that we should be in church is to honor God publicly. Now, I had a teenager tell me once about a friend who was all nice when just the two of them were together, but at school and around other people, she almost ignored her, like she wasn't there. And that's not uncommon, really. So-called friends can be unreliable. And I know people in our community who say they follow Jesus. I run into quite a few, actually. I don't doubt their sincerity. That's God knows. But they're people who seldom or never show up at worship, in church, in public. See, there's something about public worship that's unique. Doing this together. Doing it regularly. You know, not haphazardly, but because it's important. Singing or speaking your devotion to God with others around, you know? Love does that. And what kind of a relationship is it if it's ignored in public? Like happened to that teenage girl. So a healthy relationship with God is something we acknowledge often and publicly. And that's what we want from our friends, isn't it? And that's what God wants from us. In the Psalms, it says, let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. Let them exalt him publicly before the congregation and before the leaders of the nation. Yeah. That speaks for itself. And then in Psalm 22, in the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Yeah, it's good to praise Jesus in your private prayer life. Yeah. It's also important to praise him with others and make a public statement. Jesus says, you know, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. If you own me before men, I will own you before my Father in heaven. So, first reason why it's good to be here together and worship is to make a public statement. Let's see. Second reason why being in church is important is to be encouraged. Now, some of you here came here this morning and you need encouragement, maybe pretty badly. And God knows that. And you've come to the right place because normally, often, you're really going to get encouraged in church. God is going to speak to you. Maybe you didn't even feel like coming today. You know, everybody has Sundays like that. But being encouraged is a good reason to be here. The psalmist writes, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Yeah, this psalm writer expresses what happens to him when he goes to church. He's lifted up. He's gladdened. Sometimes we need encouragement the most when we are avoiding other people. You know, we withdraw sometimes when we're hurting. We don't want to share the burden with other people or share our problems. Maybe we feel ashamed. People, the worst thing you can do when you need encouragement is to just hole up by yourself. But a lot of times we do that. But Galatians says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So the way God meant it to be is that we lift each other up. And we share burdens, and people share them with us, and we're not alone. And that's what's supposed to happen. There's nothing wrong with your wanting encouragement. And there's nothing wrong with your coming to church to get it. And this is the place you should come. So, you know, what encourages us? A kind word, a smile, a handshake, or a hug? And we need these things. And we need to ask for prayer. If you haven't, just go up to somebody and ask them. I'm struggling. Would you pray for me? That's a good thing to do at church. To go aside with somebody and let them pray for you. When you're down, then being at church is going to usually adjust your whole thinking. You know? It'll put your eyes back on God and away from the problems in your life that seem really big. And they won't seem as big when you look at the big God who's here with us and he's for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? In Philippians, we read, my friends, fill your minds with those things that are good and deserve praise, things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and honorable. That's what we try to do when we get together. These are things we think about every Sunday at church. We focus on the things that are positive. So if you want to be lifted up, surround yourself with God's people. That is an important reason to be here. A third reason to be here, though, is that others need your encouragement. Okay? In Galatians, it says, again, bear one another's burdens. So that applies to the person who has the burden that needs somebody to bear with them, and it applies to the person who sees another with a burden and comes alongside. So it's important to be in church because others need you. Now, never forget, God put you on this earth for a reason. And others are an important part of that reason. In Matthew, it says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I can tell you without any question, there is a neighbor sitting here not far from you who needs encouragement today. There's going to be a scattering of people here that are having a rough week or a rough month or a rough life. And you can be the one God uses. In Hebrews, again, some people have gotten out of the habit of meeting for worship, but we must not do that. We should keep on encouraging each other. So, I guess if you would come, and if I would come on a Sunday with the prayer, God, use me today. Show me somebody that needs a little lifting. And whether all you're doing is shaking their hand and smiling, friendly hello, maybe you see somebody looks down and you just ask them, is there something I can pray for you about? You look a little down today. It's okay to ask a question like that. So when you think about being at church, think about encouraging someone. It's not that hard. And the beginning of being an encourager is just being there. Okay? Your presence with the family is encouraging. Reason number four why your presence at church is important is that we're stronger together. Now, okay, in 1 Corinthians it says this, do not be fooled, bad companions ruin good character. Okay, now if you do the contrapositive of that, now the logical reversal of that statement that's still true, it's good companions make for good character. So when we come together with other people who are trying to follow Jesus, we're going to be impacted. God has brought people into our lives, and through them, He will influence us in a good way. And we all know kids who've gotten into trouble for hanging out with the wrong crowd, right? There was a teenage guy once in our church. I'll never forget this. He was in a car with some guys, and without him knowing ahead of time, they went to a home and burglarized it. And then they convinced him to hide the stolen goods. And stupidly, he said yes. And this 18-year-old spent a year in jail for that. Bad companions. So if you want to follow Jesus in your life, then be strengthened by being with other people that have the same goal. I'm inspired by being around you. Every Sunday I come to church, it's an encouragement to me to keep on. And you impact my life. And sometimes it's because we have a short conversation, and sometimes it's just because you're here. I don't even talk to you that day. I'm glad that we get together and affirm Jesus together and affirm each other's commitment to our Lord. It's a powerful thing. And so the fact is that we are influenced by other people, for good or for ill. I know some people will say, well, I'm going to be strong all by myself. You know, I can do it without any help. You know, I don't believe that, really. But suppose it were true. Well, then, if you can really be strong and follow God all by yourself, how about hanging out a little bit with the rest of us and sharing some of that strength? You know, isn't it selfish to hoard all your mighty spiritual power to yourself? Yeah, superpower. So God has chosen to bring into being this family, which is called a church. And He's chosen to use that family to help each member to grow and to reach lost people for Jesus. And the spiritual life, you see, is both an individual thing and it's a community thing. It's both. It's individual in that you must, as an individual, choose to believe in Jesus. You have to choose to receive him by faith and decide to ask for his forgiveness and accept his forgiveness and to be his follower. It's a private thing that you and Jesus do. And if you haven't done that, if you're unsure whether you have made a commitment to Jesus from your own heart, personally, do it. Do it today before you leave. Tell him, Jesus, I love you. I know you died for me. I need you to forgive my sins. I want to follow you. Please forgive me. Be my Savior. And he hears you. And that's the beginning of that relationship for you. So it's that's very individual. But then as a community, following Jesus is a together thing. We worship together. We get encouraged by each other. We encourage others. We serve together. We strengthen each other. So God has a plan to use all of us imperfect people together to change the world. And we are imperfect. Every church is a mess in some respects. You don't find any perfect churches. You won't find any church where somebody might not hurt you. What, did I say that right? You know, we are human and we sin, or we just make mistakes. We can be ignorant. We can be foolish. And yet God's chosen to use just ordinary people like us and to show his power to work through us, even though we're inadequate and we fail. Now, it's a miracle and it's a wonderful thing. It's got what God has chosen. I want to tell you that before I was a pastor, I went through some serious doubts about God's plan and about the church. It was like all I could see were the imperfections. And I was pretty shaky in my commitment for a while. And then it finally hit me. But the church is God's plan. And the scripture says that Jesus loves the church and he gave his life for her. And the church is the bride of Christ. And so it hit me, well, duh, it's God's plan. This is the way it's supposed to be. God uses flawed people. So that settled it for me. You know, God is working with what he's got. And what does he have? Us. Yeah. That was my next word. So, you know, it's a privilege and a wonder. And I'm kind of in awe of it. So you here today, and those who aren't here, if we love Jesus, we are his body. Now, I came to a conviction in my life that it's important for me to be in church regularly. And so my standard is to never miss. Unless I'm sick, or there are other rare exceptions. Now, there are many people who would say I'm a fanatic. I'm not really a fanatic. I just have a goal in my life to follow Jesus in everyday life. And this is a part of trying to reach that goal. Yeah. There's a reason for living. And being together with you is part of fulfillment of that goal of following Jesus. But, you know, maybe being a fanatic for Jesus is actually a good thing. You know? I've never found anybody that could find fault with what Jesus taught and how he lived. You can find fault with a lot of Christians. You can find a fault in every Christian. But we're not called not to follow other Christians. We're called to follow Jesus. And to invite the world to follow Jesus, because he's the answer. He's the answer for the world. The local church is the hope of the world. So, let me leave you with this thought. Let's see, I think I have one more slide. Yes. The four benefits of your presence. Worshiping together, being encouraged, encouraging others, finding strength in each other. So when it comes to church, the family of God, and a fruitful spiritual life, just remember this. You must be present to win. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this day. I thank you for our fathers and Lord that you've given us in our lives people who influence us, who love us, who care for us, all imperfectly. There's never been a perfect father. But we praise you, Lord, that you work through imperfect people too. And I pray, Lord, that today you will bless our fathers as we celebrate them today. And I pray, Lord, that if there's something here that's worth remembering that we talked about, it will stick in our minds and change us and mold us, and you will do your work. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for being here. Yes, Pam? Okay, let me say this, that we had two of our men went to Uganda, Africa recently, came back a few days ago, Karsten and Mike, and they went to visit some missionaries there that they have supported, and they found out in quite a bit of detail about what was happening, and it was a very fruitful trip. So they're going to be sharing some about that next Sunday. And I think Dana Ogle is going to be bringing the message, right? Okay. Okay. But anyway, I won't be here. My son and wife are adopting a little boy Friday in California. So we'll be there with them. So I'll miss you. But anyway, yeah, I know it's been a life-changing, wonderful experience for you to go, and you'll be glad to hear more about it. But do we have another song?
Sure.
Sounds like it.
Also,
yes. Okay. Day, and I thank God for the weather. It's a happy day, living it for my Lord. It's a happy day, and things are gonna get better. Living each day by the promises in God's word. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week.